All right, Barry, we are back. And now, before we get into this, Jennifer Allen's going to be joining us with sellwithsoul.com here on the program in just a couple of minutes. Let me set this up for everybody. Longtime listeners of the program are going to remember our discussion with Broker Bryant on commission justification. It has long been our position here at Real Estate Radio that it is very difficult, if not nay impossible, for a listing agent to justify a 3% commission. All right? That's been our position.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, it has.
Now, a buying agent, we look at that, you're actually bringing a buyer, someone who's performing, therefore, a commission is justified at that point. However, for listing a home, for marketing a home, Barry's done several posts on this, for what you can pay at flat fee services, appraisers, certain vendors, it's just not, in our opinion, cost-effective to list a home, okay? So, Jennifer heard that talk with Broker Bryant, Barry. Mm-hmm. And she called Lindsay, our producer, and said, listen, I can do that. I can do that. I can justify my commission. I know. She goes, the guy just didn't talk right. The guy didn't know what he was talking about. All right?
I think it's more than that.
All right. Well, joining us now on the program from Sell with Soul, Miss Jennifer Allen. Jennifer, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
How you like that intro?
That's horrible. I did not say that about Broker Bryant. I didn't even apply that.
Yeah, I think you said you were going to beat him up, too.
Well, I might have said that. But no, I was actually just really intrigued by the conversation, and I thought, you know, I want to answer this question.
Okay, well, you know our position here on the program. Mm-hmm. Barry and I are not real estate agents. We're not realtors. We are investors who have worked in the real estate industry for too many years, I would say. Mm-hmm. And we've always, for a lot of the times we have used real estate agents and love working with several of our real estate agent friends. However, we have not once listed a property, one of our hundreds of properties that we have been involved in transactions on with a realtor because have never seen the, worth.
Okay.
And, that's our position. We've been taken to task for that. However, no one has been able to explain the amount of money that they spent and relate that directly to the commission-based structure.
Okay.
And you joining us on the program today, it's not like I want you to walk into the lion's den, but I'm growling here, I think, a little bit, Jennifer.
Well, I'm okay with that. I hope I come out on the other side alive. I walked into this with a fair amount of confidence that I'll be able to give you a persuasive argument, but, you know, we'll see. Do you have any specific questions, or you want me to just start?
No, go ahead. I mean, first of all, tell us a little bit about your listing presentation, what somebody gets for that, if you could.
My listing presentation?
Well, I mean, I don't want you to... You know, tell all your secrets. No, I mean secrets, but wait, we understand that listing a home revolves primarily around marketing the home, correct?
I disagree.
Okay.
There's
where we go.
I disagree on that. That's fine. Well, let me kind of start at the beginning here. And what I don't want to get into is the line by line item of how much money I or anyone else spends to market a listing.
Now
hush for a second. Now, if I go to the dentist, if I go to an attorney, if I go to just about any self-employed or any consultant, advisor type person, you know, they are not charging me a line by line item of how much they're spending to work on me for that 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever. I mean, that's not, professionals do not charge. It's not like putting in a furnace. You know, there's a cost to the furnace, and there's an hourly charge. You know, what that hourly charge is that 30 an hour, 60 an hour, 120 an hour? You know, that's a little bit different. But when you're talking about a professional, which, you know, you can argue that if you want, but, you know, a lot of realtors are professionals. What we bring to the table is not a line-by-line itemization of what we're spending our money on. Just like if you went to see the dentist, the dentist is not going to give you a bill.
There's a big difference. I don't think you're going to find most homeowners arguing the fact that they can't do their own dentistry, they can't be their own lawyer, But you're going to find consumers, and Barry and I, who say, I can do most of, if not everything or more, that a, quote, professional realtor can
do. Absolutely. And, in fact, one of the last listing presentations I did, I told she was considering doing for sale by owner, and I said, you know, you can. Anybody can put their house on the market. Any, you know, civilian, non-realtor type person can put their house on the market. They can do the work. They can buy into the MLS. She absolutely was capable of doing all those things. I told her at the time, I don't push myself on people.
Right.
So I told her at the time, I said, I'm going to cost you about $5,000. You know, it's going to cost you $1,000 to get on to, you know, an MLS. For someone to pay to get on the MLS, it's going to cost you $1,000. So what you're going to pay me, the difference is about $4,000. Is that worth it to you for me to take over and do the job that I do every day? Or do you want to do it? And I laid it out for her like that, and she thought about it, and she said, you know, I'd really rather have you do it. So can somebody sell their own house? I don't know that they can sell their own house, but can they market it? Absolutely, there's no question. I can also go into court and fight a traffic ticket if I want. However, the last time I got a nasty traffic ticket, I paid a lawyer $500 to show up for an hour and fight my ticket. He got it from a 12-point down to a 1-point. You know, could I have done that? Maybe, maybe not. But I certainly was capable of showing up in court all by myself and arguing with the judge. So, you know, I do this every day for a living. This is what I do. I've done it for 12 years.
So
I'm better at it than somebody who's never done it before. I think that's a given.
Do you consider yourself a listing agent or a buyer's agent?
I do both, and I think actually, in my opinion, to be a good real estate agent, you need to do both. And I think that's part of what I bring to the table. You know, I hadn't even thought of that. Thank you. You threw that one in my lap.
Mm-hmm.
Is most people, most civilians, aren't out showing buyers houses. They don't, you know, your normal person doesn't go out and look at houses all day long. That's what I do. I work with buyers. I know what they respond to. I know what's important to them. I know what they're going to fuss about. I know what they'll overlook. That's never come up before, and I'd never thought of it, but that's actually a big part of think of why I'm worth the money I'm worth, is I know the buyer. Not only do I know the market, I know the buyer.
Well, Barry and I have no problem and never have had a problem with an agent who brings a buyer to the transaction. So we can take that half of the commission or that half of the...
That's not what I'm talking about, though.
What are you talking about?
I'm not talking about bringing the buyer. I mean that when I'm talking with a seller and I'm preparing them to be on the market, when I'm pricing their home, when I'm telling them what they need to do to get ready to go on the market, I know who the buyer is who's going to be going through that house. And your average for sale by owner type person doesn't have any clue what the buyers for their property are going to be looking for. You had said earlier that what you're paying me for is to market the property, and I don't believe that. I believe the vast majority of what I get paid for happens between the time you greet me at your door and the time that sign goes in the yard. So that's, and then actually, interestingly, at that point, the systems take over. Then we go under contract, hopefully, luckily, and then again, I start earning my money from contract to closing. The time period from being listed on the MLS and going under contract, that's actually probably the least of what I do for my money.
So well, hold on. You said just a second ago that from the time you come to my front door and I let you in,
mm-hmm.
and from the time you go back to the office and call the yard sign company, that's
mm-hmm.
where you've earned most of your money.
That's where I've earned a chunk of it, and then the other half after we've gone under contract, yeah.
All right. How did you earn a lot of, or the bulk of your money by getting me to agree to the listing agreement?
Oh, that's not, I mean, I don't get paid because I force you to sign a piece of paper. I don't get paid for doing a listing presentation for you. I get paid once you've hired me, the day before the sign goes in the yard, probably. So I know what to do. I know what to tell the seller to do. I know what to tell the seller to expect. I know I have the human resources available to me to help my seller get their home ready for market. I also have the people skills, believe it or not, to be able to persuade the sellers that what I'm telling them is true and that it's valid. The last two listings I put on the market, here in this market went under contract, both of them within 4 days, both of them with multiple offers. You don't think my sellers are happy with me and they think they got their money's worth? Yeah, they're pretty happy. But that didn't happen because of the fantastic marketing I did in those 4 days. Obviously, the reason their houses sold was because what we did before we hit the market.
All right, let's do that then. Okay, so those houses
sold. This is one thing we did with Broker Brian, so here we go.
This house sold very quickly because of what you did before it hit the market. All right, so tell us what you do before a house hits the market that warrants the bulk of your money and allows that home to sell so quickly.
Okay. Some of it's kind of obvious. I did a lot of work previewing. I evaluated, I did a very good job pricing the home.
That's real important.
We're going to go point by point here.
You just said it's very important to price the home correctly, which Barry and I completely agree with. What is your methodology for pricing the home?
Well, I actually wrote a book on that, but I'm a very good home pricer. I spend a lot of time on it. I've been doing this a long time. I know my neighborhoods. So when I'm pricing a home, I go out and I preview all of the competition, every bit of it. I look at all the solds on the MLS very carefully. If one of them stands out or seems kind of odd, I'll drive by it just to say, oh, okay, I see why this is low or this is high. I spend a lot of time on pricing. And, again, I wrote a whole book on this, so there's a lot that goes into effectively pricing a house, especially in my neighborhood, which is mostly historic homes. They're not all cookie cutter. It's not a matter of looking at a floor plan and saying, okay, that's going to sell for $129 a square foot. Every house that I price is unique. There's not two houses in Denver that are exactly alike, at least in the old house market.
What's your price point usually in that neighborhood?
In central Denver, the average price, I think, is around $300,000, I think.
Now, when you walk out and do your analysis and basically do drive through and take all this into account, where do you end up pricing according to the market? Are you middle of the market? Are you high? Are you low? Where do you normally look at those last couple of houses you talked about?
That moved so quickly.
Where were they in the market?
I priced them right. Now, both of these houses, and we'll get to this in a second if you like, both of these houses, my sellers did everything I asked them to do. So I didn't price it until I didn't give them a solid price until we were ready to hit the market. That's another thing. I don't price a house based on what the seller tells me they're going to do. So, and I tell them that, if you want me to price it as is today, I will. And then I'll come back, and right before we go on the market, I'll reevaluate. And if you've done everything I asked you to do, I can price it a little higher. But my houses tend to be very cherry, very Pottery Barn, and that's because, I make them that way. And so I will price those houses right at market, which is usually perceived as being slightly under.
Slightly under, okay.
But it's not slightly under, it's just, it's dead on market, and we're not building in margin.
I have a question then, and this is where it becomes more of a industry question than a Jennifer Allen question or a Broker Bryant question. Because you are good at what you do and how you price your homes and that value that you bring to the transaction at 3% or 3.2% that you get on your side, based upon what you know, does that then mean the people, other agents in the market, aren't worth that?
Mike? And that's a topic, again, we could talk, and I'm not to criticize other agents. I think I'm the best listing agent I know, and I don't have any problem saying that.
So if we put that crown on you and say, all right, Jennifer is the agent in Denver, she does all this work and she can make it happen, what are the other 10,000 agents in Denver worth?
Oh, I don't know. Now, let me back up and let me address that, sort of. What you're paying for when you buy a listing agent is you are not paying for all the things that you think you're paying for. What you're buying into is a very,
whoa,
very
whoa, whoa, whoa. No. I'm buying what they tell me they're selling. I mean, when they come in, they knock on the door and say, hey, Barry, I want to sell your house for you. All right, Mr. Johnson, what are you going to do for me? I can only go based upon what they tell me.
Right, and I think most listing agents don't really understand their value. They don't. They go in with, well, I'm going to market it. I'm going to do brochures. I'm going to do open houses. I'm going to take out newspaper ads. This is how they've been trained to explain their services. I think I've figured out what it is I do that's actually worth this money. And I don't think it's my fancy brochures, my open houses, or my newspaper ads that I don't do, or my free Craigslist ads. You know, none of that is what you're paying me for. Most of that is self-promotion. So, you know, the vast majority of marketing for a property is self-promotion for me, and I don't really do a ton of that. My market is the realtors. It's not the buyers. So I market a little bit to the buyers, but my market is the realtor community. They're the ones with the buyers. So that's my audience. That's who I market to. But what I was going to say earlier is even a moderately competent real estate agent, not an exceptional one, not a terrible one, but a competent real estate agent should be able to earn 2-3% of that commission simply because of the systems we have in place. You know, we have an incredibly effective system for selling homes. Again, a seller can certainly piecemeal that system together, but it's not going to be nearly as efficient. When you buy any real estate agent, you're buying that system, okay, the showing system, the lockbox system, the feedback system, the MLS system, obviously, the follow-up system. You're buying that agent's connections. Hopefully they have a team of handymen, service providers, house cleaners, that sort of thing. You're buying their time. Not everybody has time to race home and let somebody into their house. Obviously we do spend time on this, not as much as people might hope because we have the systems in place. And you're buying expertise and experience. Some people have more than others. You know, what do you do? I don't know. But what you're buying when you buy a real estate agent, a listing agent, is not all the marketing and everything that they tend to go out and they tell you, here's what you're paying for. And it doesn't make a very compelling case.
Well, I can understand that. We've gotten our property sold without ever having to list with an agent. But we have always listed on the MLS. We've always had a sign out front. We've always had a lockbox. We've always had ancillary marketing. Everything that you've mentioned, all those systems, we've always had without ever having to use with a real without ever having to go through a real estate agent. And for us, especially as investors, saving that 3% could mean a difference of a profit margin and a marginal deal.
Oh, it's significant. Now, last year I didn't live in Denver and I had a house to sell and I just needed access to the MLS, a sign in the yard, and a lockbox and a showing service. That's all I needed. I hired a gal at Assist to Sell.
Your house?
It was a property I owned.
Okay.
And I didn't live here. I wasn't licensed here at the time.
Okay.
And so I needed those bare bones, and I paid her $750 to do those things, and I handled everything else. And that makes sense because I knew what I was doing. I didn't need help pricing. I knew what to do. I didn't need her advice. I didn't need the hand-holding. I didn't need the contract to closing help. I didn't need any of that. I paid her $750. She showed up, put a sign in the yard. I actually put it in the MLS because I had access. So in those situations, which is much like yours, would I say for you to hire a 3% agent? Probably not. You don't need to. And there are people who don't need to. Most people do. Most people don't want to go fight their own traffic tickets without help because they don't really know what they're doing. If I, as a real estate agent, for example, let's say these two houses that sold in a couple days, had they sat on the market, one of these was vacant, had it sat on the market for 3 months, I don't know what their mortgage was, probably $1,200, $1,400 a month. You know, you don't think I earned my keep?
Well, yeah. Jennifer, here's the thing. Is on an individual basis, the argument against a real estate agent on an individual basis probably isn't going to work all the time, because if you run into an exceptional agent like yourself, it's like, okay, maybe she's one of the good ones. But just like when you're using the analogy of attorneys, there are Johnny Cochran. Well, he's dead, but Johnny Cochran's of the world.
There were Johnny Cochran's.
Yeah, and the guys that are chasing ambulances and 1-800 numbers. So it all goes.
You don't think Johnny Cochran earned his money?
I think Johnny Cochran did. He got a murder off. So I mean, yeah, he definitely earned his money. But if OJ had gone to like the guy who's got the park bench out front, he probably would have been breaking rocks right about now. And what I'm saying with that is realtors as a industry defend the 3-6% commission for everybody without taking into account the true professionals like yourself. And even with Broker Brian, he may not have been able to articulate what he did, but if I can see from some of the stuff he's written and his stature, that the guy knows what he's doing.
Oh, totally.
Unfortunately, with 1.2 million people out there that are agents and dropping, I don't see how real estate agents can honestly look in the mirror and say, listen, there's not a huge but number of agents out there who aren't worth the metal. And that's where I'm having the problem is because the consumer, because everybody's holding up the charge.
Yeah, anybody. You don't have to work in the industry 5 years before you go to work with REMAX or Coldwell Banker, or you don't have to have so many houses sold. Or these people can be on a park bench or send a flyer just like anybody else. And
I mean,
they're starting to advocate, and we'll talk about this, and I want to know what you thought about this, a national agent rating system.
Well, and in my book, I have a whole chapter on I think that new agents should work for free. So you're,
I like that.
Yeah, no, I've said that for a couple years now, is that I think every new agent ought to be like, I think, appraisers. Don't they have a two-year internship?
Absolutely, 100%. An apprenticeship program.
I've been in some serious online arguments with people when I say, okay, I as a 5-year agent, 10-year agent, 12-year agent, guess what? I'm worth more money than someone right out of real estate school. And I've been slammed viciously for that opinion. And to me, it's kind of obvious. I don't see
you
how on earth you could say somebody who's never done it before is worth the same percentage I am. Absolutely not. I probably hit my stride and was worth what I charge, I'm going to say maybe 4 to 5 years in. Although...
You were charging before then, weren't you?
You know, I didn't actually.
Really?
I did charge. Yes, I did charge. I didn't charge much. I really didn't. I this is something I felt since the beginning, that when I don't know what I'm doing, I'm not worth a full commission. I don't have any problem with that.
Well, Jennifer, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's all right.
One of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, what is probably the most important factor in a house moving in today's market?
There are three.
Okay.
And they're interrelated. So, you know, price, we don't need to talk about that. Price is very important. Condition is huge. It's related to price, but not married to it. It's different. So you've got price, condition, and accessibility.
Okay. The price was one of the big ones I wanted to just mention. What you do, could you explain to everyone out there listening, what do you do is different than what an appraiser does that you could pay $300-$400
Totally. I mean, I just don't think there's any comparison. An appraiser does not show houses. They do not work with buyers. They, you know, an appraiser in any given day, for example, here in Denver, can be in Westminster in the morning and Castle Rock in the afternoon. That's an hour and a half journey. What, you know, they don't... They are looking at objective numbers. They're looking at objective factors. They're not factoring in, and they can't factor in appeal. They can't factor in smell. They can't factor in the ugly house next door. I mean, maybe they can a little bit, but in this market, those things are deal breakers. I work with buyers, so I know that a Tudor, a 1,000-square-foot Tudor versus, you know, a 1,000-square-foot bungalow, in my market, there's a difference. On paper, there's no difference. You know, the... I don't think appraisers have any business pricing homes for market, and not to offend appraisers, but they do not work with buyers. They don't specialize in neighborhoods. They don't know the nuances. They might know them, but there's pricing is at least half gut. And
well, I think appraisers would agree.
When I go into a house, I look at it and I say, am I excited about this? Would I be excited to show a buyer this? If I would... You know, I can price that up a little bit. If I'm depressed about it, you know, what if the house smells like smoke or cat pee? you know, those are huge. Those are, again, deal breakers in this kind of market. So, no, I mean,
just so you know, we'll take the houses with the cat pee.
Yeah, as long as they get a significant discount.
I may have a good one for you here.
No, because it's a valid question because it's an independent third party, not related to a transaction, where a lot of realtors, when they're pricing homes, and I've seen this before firsthand, price it based on either two ways, what they can make the most commission or what they can move it the quickest to make the commission, where an appraiser, an independent third party, really goes by the facts of the market. That's the reason that banks I want an appraisal from an appraiser before they lend on a property and don't just take a CMA.
Sure, and that's fine. I will argue that real estate agents, at least anyone with any kind of brain power, is not going to overprice a house because of the commission, because of the extra $200 they're going to get. If they overprice a house, it's because either they don't know what they're doing or they capitulated to the pressure of the seller. They didn't do it because they're going to make another $200.
Fair enough.
You know, that's not going to happen. Whether they underprice it, you know, in order to get a quick commission, again, you don't see that often because most of us are in competition with other agents. We don't, you know, we do feel that pressure. We do have that ego to have a sign in the yard, and I think it does take a certain level of maturity to be able to say, here's what your house is worth, and I am willing to lose. I'm willing to lose the listing over that. And that does take a confidence in your market knowledge, a maturity to get away from the ego. You know, I've taken overpriced listings. I'm sure I will the rest of my career. But I think that pricing a home for sale and pricing a home to justify the value to a bank are just, to me, they're not even close to related in my experience. Now, again, maybe in a tract home neighborhood where it's all cookie cutter, I've never worked in that kind of market. So keep in mind, when I'm talking about how much I focus on pricing and condition, I'm working in homes built in the 20s, the 30s.
So you're saying that a home priced for sale and the appraised price that the bank eventually gets with it are irrelevant?
The appraised price?
Yeah.
It's irrelevant to the market value of the home, absolutely.
The appraised price of a property is irrelevant to the market value.
Yes.
Barry? I mean, how... Wait, so you've got me lost here. Because
I mean, they might be that similar. I'm not saying that they would be vastly different.
Would you pay more... Would you personally pay for a house and that house would cost you more than what it's appraised for?
Oh, I have. But...
Jennifer.
And I don't think that's... I'm not sure that's really the same...
Yeah, it is. You said that the market value of a property mm-hmm. and the appraised value of a property weren't relevant to each other.
I don't think that they are. Again, in some markets, you know, if you have condos or cookie cutter homes, it may be that, you know, there may be a lot more relevancy there. But in a lot of markets, which certainly are not in those kinds of neighborhoods, you know, I think if an appraiser went in and my house recently, okay, my house appraised, I don't know, 4 months ago for $355.
Okay.
Okay. So what's it worth? About $330. But the comps were there for $355. What can it really sell for? It can really sell for $330. Why? I have three dogs. It's not going to be that easy to show. It has a small kitchen. A nice kitchen, but it has a small kitchen. The backyard's a little torn up because the dogs pee in it. My garage isn't big enough to hold a regular car.
Jennifer, I got to say, all those factors are what the actual... Are you saying that the bank should lend based upon what the realtor says the market value of a property is?
No. I think that the appraisal has its place in the real estate transaction. I think I'm not trying to offend appraisers, and I may be all wet here. I may not know what I'm talking about, but in my experience, an appraisal is a justification of the value. Okay, the buyer has agreed to pay this much for the home. Is that reasonable? Sure, that's reasonable. Or no, it's not. I can't back that up. It's not a determination of where you ought to set your price. So if you're a home seller, I think where you were going with this, where we started, is that a home seller should go out and just hire an appraiser for $375, and then they don't need no stinking realtor to come in and tell them what their house is worth. And I don't, I that is what I disagree with. Whether or not banks want to use appraisers or not, I don't care.
Well,
but
you got to care, because if you're selling a property, the person you're selling it to, unless they're buying it cash, is going to have to submit to the opinion of the underwriter. If the underwriter wants a valuation on the property, they're not calling a realtor, they're calling the appraiser.
And the appraiser is going through, they have a license to do this, they're going through the information, and they're justifying the sales price.
Now they're giving an opinion of value.
They're giving a value.
That's up for debate, I guess, and what's actually happening. I mean, we all know that every time you get an appraisal, it comes in right at the market value, at the sales price. So, if it comes in too high, I mean, I've seen this many times, is if an appraisal comes in too high, the appraiser has to get it closer to sales, to the sales price, or else he gets in trouble by the underwriter. So, you know, I've had that happen several times.
Well, when we've done that, because that's how we make money. We'll actually buy a home cheaper than it's worth, and all that is basically is we have to do a one-page addendum to say why, whether it's an estate sale, whether it's a foreclosure, whether it's one of like 20 different things that we would be able to get a property. The guy got a divorce, all kinds of different things. But the value of the property, to me, and I guess to just about anybody who's looking for a mortgage, doesn't come from a realtor. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a need for an appraiser.
No, well, the realtor put the price on it and sold it. You know, the realtor put the price on it, a buyer agent came along, they negotiated a price. I mean, everybody knows what the market value of a house is, what a seller's willing to sell for and a buyer's willing to buy for. That's the market value of a house. How is an appraiser involved in that?
But the market value of the home is what the appraiser actually, the bank will lend on it.
And that's now, what the bank will lend on
and
it.
And now what we have as well is we've got banks and out there saying your home is in a declining market. Barry and
therefore,
I,
we'll
yeah,
only
when
lend
Barry
up
I,
to
look, yeah,
85-90%.
When we're looking at property right now, we do what's called a regression analysis, where we actually take into account the different suppressing factors in a market, and we go further than probably most appraisers would to make sure that we're getting a property well below value, to make sure we've got a cushion on it going in, which ticks off a lot of realtors.
So you're probably doing a better job of pricing that house than the appraiser does.
Oh, we're not pricing. That's our offer. We're not telling the seller to price it. We're placing the offer. I mean, we could go round and round. I understand what you're saying, but I just don't know if that makes sense in the largeness of the industry that the realtors are basically determining value when...
Okay. Well, we can agree to disagree on that.
Well, what do you do when there's a short sale?
I haven't done any short sales, so...
Well, what about the realtor who prices a property out at that point?
What about him?
Well, they're pricing the property based upon what they're hoping to get as a discount from the bank, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or what about the agent who represents an REO? Are they when they're pricing a property to liquidate it? Are they doing it at market value?
Well, I mean, it depends on what you define as market value. What you know, we've always been taught is what a seller's willing to sell and a buyer's willing to buy. That's market value. So
if you had a house at $300,000 and I came in and Barry and I flew into Denver and we threw an offer at you at $210,000, is that the value of the home?
I guess if I took it, it would be. You know, it who knows? I mean, market value is a moving target, and it especially in a market, well, in most markets, it changes every week. So it's luck, you know, the weather. Market value is not a number. It's not a, you know, $301,936.36. It's what the seller happened to take that day or the buyer happened to offer. And next week it could be $20,000 more if a desperate buyer walked along who needed to buy a house that weekend. So, you know, again, this isn't really about listing commissions, but it's fun.
Well, the part about the listing commissions, and like I said earlier, if Barry and I agree to acquiesce and say you're a great agent, which we do feel you are, and that you may be worth your commission, then I believed it would be fair for you to acquiesce and say there's a hell of a lot of real estate agents out there who aren't.
Well, Well, you know, we've all heard of the three Ps. You know, put it in the MLS, put a sign in the yard, and pray.
Yep.
And is somebody like that worth 3%? No. Are the systems they represent worth something? Yes.
How do you know what their systems are?
Yeah, well, no. I mean, I think we've established, too, those systems can be bought at a discount as well. Because you did.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right, Jennifer, I'm sorry we could go on this all day, but unfortunately I'm up against a break in another interview, but I appreciate you joining us again on the program today.
Sure, that was fun.
When are we going to see you in that new book is coming out? You're going to come on and talk to us then, right?
Yeah, it's actually being shipped out, I think, this week. So.
I can't wait.
Me neither.
All right, you got to sign a copy and send it to the B&B crew here.
I will do that.
All right, Jennifer. I appreciate you, all right?
Thanks a lot.
All right, have a great time. And that's Jennifer Allen, everybody. SellWithSoul.com. Go and check her out. Her new book is coming out. We're going to be talking to her when that comes out and gets released. Right now, we're going to take a break. Barry, when we come back, more Real Estate Radio USA. You can't hardly wait. I can see the look on your face. We'll be right back.